Turn your Bibles a little to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, continuing on here, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, there in Greece, there in South Greece, in the region, if my memory serves me right, of Achaia. And he started in the last chapter dealing with them and some of the problems that they have. And churches are like that. Churches have problems. And the reason churches have problems is because people have problems. And churches are made up of people. That's the reason we need preaching. That's the reason we need the Word of God. That's the reason we need to listen to our Lord and what He has to say to us. I like to ask the children and the young ones about, are you ready to go to church? Yeah. Do you want to hear preaching? No. It's for that very reason that you need preaching. We all need preaching. You know, even the pastor needs preaching. This past week is able to go. And then we had Brother Clarence, Brother Grigsby with us on Wednesday. You know, pastors need preaching too, because pastors are people. And children of God, we need preaching too. We need challenged by the Lord and His Word. And so we come here to chapter 6, and the brother rolls right on in to the next issue that he is led of the Lord to deal with this church about. Listen, verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law with one with another, why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. So, in Corinth, it's come in vogue, even in the church, that if there's a disagreement about earthly matters, they just go on to court. Go to court before the judges of the Roman judges of the land and those that are there in that day. He says, dare any of you. Understand how weighty and how serious this is. The other issue was very serious, but his speech and his words are very, very strong. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unsaved? Before the unsaved. And not before the saints. You know, we live in a day, and it's witnessed here in this, that we're subject to this, that folks just don't think, and even people might not think, even the children of God and members of the Lord's churches might not think that the church carries any weight, carries any authority amongst us. But here the apostle of the Lord is saying that if you have something to get settled out that you think needs a legal discernment, it should be done in the church and not before the law of the land. It's a slander unto the Lord, who's given us all things to enjoy, has given us all things that pertain to holiness and to godliness. As Brother Peter tells us in his epistles, that we can't get these things figured out amongst ourselves. When we go out into the world, it just brings a slam and a slander against the Lord's way. It's just not right. It's unbecoming of the children of God. He says here, is this information for you? Is this new? And I want to reference this passage here, and may the Lord give us help and wisdom. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 1, the most misquoted, most often quoted verse in the Bible, and the Lord on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, judge not that ye be not judged. And folks, stop right there. But the Lord Jesus goes on to say, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote, that little speck in your eye, out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye." He gives great exaggeration here. The Lord's speaking about hypocrisy. Don't hold others to things that you won't do yourself. And the thing is, it doesn't mean that we're off, that we're let go, if, as long as we don't hold anybody else to anything. But we get our instruction and directive on how to live from the Lord. We are indeed free from the law in regards to the salvation of the soul. But the children of God need the Word of God to know how to live for our Lord. Understand that legalism, as is hailed by many and referred to by many, has to do with the salvation of the soul. But we as the children of God need to be very legal in regards to the instruction from our Lord. In morality, we are to be the most moral people that there are on the earth, following our Lord and the example of our Lord Jesus. And so he says here, how will you talk to your brother about helping him with this little speck when you got this two before? I've got this two before hanging out of my own eye. Thou hypocrite, and that's the issue, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then leave your brother alone. Is that what it says? No. And then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. We are to be a help one to another. We indeed do make judgments, but not from our own reasoning. From the Word of God. From the Word of God. Back over in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Have you heard that before? Now, I don't know how it's all going to go, and I don't know how we're going to be used, but I tell you what, I know that the Lord says this. The Lord says this, ye are my witnesses. I think that that's going to be one of the things that the Lord is going to use us for, judgment seat of Christ as the children of God, and the great white throne judgment of the dead, those that are unrepentant and unbelieving in the Lord and His Savior and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be witnesses that we told them. Did you tell them? Yes, we told them. Yes, we declared your gospel unto them. Anytime that we declared our opinion, that has nothing to do with anything because it's no good. But when we told what God said, when we told them what the Lord Jesus has said, that will be the standard and the way of the Lord. We will judge the world. What is it going to be like in the millennial reign? Because that's going to be our contact with the world, is that millennial reign of Christ. What's he say? And if the world shall be judged by you, it's reinforced. Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? You know what? The children of God and his churches never need to take a position of not voting. When we have business, we are called upon to give forth the leadership of the Lord and what we think in that matter. We can never say, I just don't know. We're not, and I understand from the standpoint of determining and deciding and things, it may be some situations as such may be elusive, but we have a responsibility to speak up, again, not for our opinion, but for what God says. And we've got to go to the Word of God to find out what our Lord says about matters. Find out about His judgments. The Word of God is referred to that way, isn't it? His Word, His testimonies, His statutes, and His judgments. God's made a lot of judgments already about the way things are. For example, God's made judgment that you and I need to line up with regarding sodomy. It's over. There's no debate, no discussion, no issue, no if and or whatever, or maybe okay so somehow. No, God's made the judgment. He burned down four cities, to declare that sodomy is wickedness before God. And so he says here, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? How will we judge? Not by our opinion, but by what the Lord has given. his word, his testimonies, his statutes, his judgments indeed. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Did you know that? The apostles, Brother Peter had asked, Lord, we've left all and followed thee. The rich young ruler came to the Lord and he lacked one thing. The Lord Jesus said, he said, go sell everything you've got and come follow me because I'm who you lack. I'm what you lack and who you lack. The man went away sorrowful. You know, I had a thought the other day. I wonder if that was Barnabas. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I just wonder about that. No way to know until we get to the other side and the Lord shows us and tells us if we need to know. But that man went away sorrowful. The Lord had loved him, the scripture says, had compassion on him and told him the truth. Peter says, Lord, we've left it all. What are we going to have? And he said, don't make deals with God. You remember Brother Ron's message? Don't make contracts with God. But you know what the Lord laid on them? He said, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. An apostle, most of them from Galilee, going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, don't you know you will judge angels? Well, I tell you what, if you will, we better get ready. We better get ready to and know this good word of God, and the Lord will fill in all the gaps for us in that day. But we need to understand what this calling is that we have of the Lord. It is greater. We're to be obedient to the civil government. We're to live peaceably. And unless the civil government presses us to disobey our Lord, we're to be peaceful, upright citizens here in our nation, in our land, in our community. But we need to get serious and understand about where we're heading for. He says, how much more the things that pertain to this life? Judging the things that pertain to this life. Judge not that you be not judged. What the Lord's saying is don't pass. He's not saying don't pass judgments about things and issues. Do so according to His word. But as we do so according to His word, let us not despise people in our hearts, but let us have pity and compassion to the wayward. Let us thank the Lord for His touch and if there's any goodness in our life or His blessing upon us. And may God help us that we might be personally corrected and trump down, as Brother Stephen brought out this morning, trump down all that stuff that's so easily available within us to rise up and let us walk with the Lord's word in our own lives and in those we have an influence and to touch upon. He says, can't you take care of this? Verse 4, if then ye having judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I tell you what, this is not an answer. This is a condemnation. Do you think that you rate above anybody else in the church? Your heart's wrong if you do. If I do. We don't rate above anyone. I tell you what, as it's been said and it's true, the ground at the foot of the cross is indeed level. We're people, human beings, and we stand as souls before our Lord. And so the brother lays this on him, said, if then you have judgments, the necessity for making judgments pertaining to this life, okay, find out who's least in the church, least esteemed in the church, and put them in charge. Let them make the call regarding that. See, the Lord is telling us the esteem that is warranted in this world and in this world system is nothing compared to being a child of God in one of His churches. And Lord, forgive us if we have this thought. Lord, forgive us if we think that there's the big eyes and the little you's. We have our calling, we have our responsibility, we have our place and that each of us fill. Some of us have been called to other things that others of us haven't, but it doesn't make our worth any greater or any less in this regard. He says in verse number 5, I speak to your shame. See, they might think, oh, okay, that would be, it's not a solution. What it is if we would think, oh, that would be a solution. We'll get brother or sister so-and-so and let them figure it out. Shame on you for thinking that way, that they are less. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? We need the wisdom of the Lord. Brother James tells that the Lord is raring to give wisdom to those that ask it. He says, is there not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren to figure out what's right. The Lord Jesus lays it out in the Gospels. In Matthew, he tells about personal offenses. And it goes by degrees and ratchets up. If there's a personal offense between individuals in the church, we need to take care of it ourselves privately, not tell everybody else. And if it just can't let it pass, the one that's offended or believes that they're offended can't let it pass, then go get a couple more and then go and have them sort it out. You know what can happen in that? The one that's offended might be the offender. It could be. And if we embark upon that thing, it might be that those witnesses might tell us that we need to straighten up. It could be. And then if that doesn't do it, then take it to the church. And you know what the Lord says there in paraphrase? What the church says goes. No, not in my life, not with me. People run off, fly off, go off and everything. The thing is, may God help us that we submit to this great calling and this great work in the church. It is not of us, it is of our Lord, and we pray that our Lord would work in us. He says, there are judgments that are made, and may we make them according to the word of God. But brother, verse 6, goeth the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers, the unjust. That's that reference there in verse number 1. Being a believer in Christ, saved by the Lord, and then go before the unbelieving to get the things of your life and faults and disagreement settled. Oh, it's such a slam on the work of the Lord and the faith that we claim. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you. And so it's a fault. It is transgression and sin for brethren to go to the law against one another. Because ye go to law one with another. Now he pleads the way of Christ. Why do you not rather take wrong? To avoid that, you that are offended, he's getting on both parties that are willing to go, but then he's getting on the party of the one that has been offended, the one that thinks that they're in the right, has been wronged by the other. Why do you not rather take wrong? Just take it on the chin. As a brother brought out this morning, what do we have that we haven't been given? And what do we have that might be taken away from us that can't be given by our Lord again? We're so fatalist or subject to be fatal in our thinking, aren't we? We are. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Go, just take it. Let it be. Forget it. And really forget it. Let it pass. Let it move on. Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. There are even those there that are willing to go and take advantage of their brothers and sisters for the gain that they may have. May God help us. May the Lord help us here. An issue or a point in our society, in our day, is this of insurance. You know what? If I back into your car and such, our insurance companies can get wrangled up and tied up in that and may even end up in court. And that's just the way that works. And I don't like that. I don't like that. And so I'll be honest with you. I don't know about that. I just don't know about that. There's even churches that I know of that have made provision in their bylaws to make a statement regarding that. And I think that's maybe a good thing to say that we understand that that's just the way the world works, but it's not an issue between the parties. I just don't know. I'll just tell you with that. I got more questions for you than answers. All right, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He's leaving this issue and going on to a more expansive consideration. He said the unrighteous and those that pursue unrighteousness, they don't inherit anything from the Lord. other than their condemnation. Be not deceived. Defrauders, okay, as has been mentioned and alluded to at the end of the subject before, but fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He gives here a list that is very similar to what we see in Galatians 5 about the works of the flesh. And those that pursue these things, those that are living in these things, those that this is their life and what they do, they are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we take a look here and take Brother David for an example in the affair with Bathsheba. He was a fornicator, wasn't he? He was idolatrous and he put his will before God. He was found an adulterer and taken another man's wife. So was she. He was not effeminate, but we see this going today in the abuse of the rainbow of God to describe something that is wicked and abominable before God. Those that want this whole gender confusion affair and everything, abusers of themselves with mankind and all licentiousness and sodomy and lesbianism and all that. Thieves. David was a thief, wasn't he? He was covetous too. He looked to make another man drunk and he reviled the word of God, didn't he? He was extortionary. I don't know if that's a word or not, but he pursued extortion. I tell you what, old Joab got what he wanted that day, didn't he? I don't think Joab, the scripture bears out, was a good man at all. But he found out that day, or thought that day, David's no better than the rest of us. He was very willing to help in getting the thing regarding Uriah accomplished. And so the children of God, my point is the children of God can fall back into these things. But like we see with Brother David, there's chastisement. There's the rebuke of the Lord. In our day, there would be, when these things would become public, there would be the rebuke and the chastisement of the church, as we've seen in the previous chapter. So the children of God can fall back into these things. But the apostle makes it clear, and the Lord tells us and makes us clear, the pursuers of these things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The antinomian, the one that would claim the grace of God and the salvation of the Lord, but just live like they lived before they claimed to be saved, just plowing right on headlong in all the sin and device of the world, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Were. You know, it's a blessing that this is in the scripture, that it might be known that the Lord saves us again from our sins. And such were. We were that way. We did follow after those things. But the Lord saved us. But ye are washed, verse 11. Ye are sanctified, set apart for the Lord. But ye are justified because of the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and sanctified and justified by the Spirit of our God. He's changed us. He's changed us. He's turned us. They need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of that, that we're not our own. We are not our own. We're not our own to continue on in the old fleshly and worldly way, the carnal and base way in which we lived. And now he moves on to yet another subject. Understand this, child of God, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Oh, yeah, you can load up tomorrow and having an offense, a legal offense against your brother and sister in Christ. You can load right up, go visit the lawyer and get you a court date and move right on. It's most likely that the Lord isn't going to strike you dead, you or me dead, before we get to the lawyer's office. Yeah. You can go ahead and do it. According to the law of the land, there's nothing that prevents us from doing so. But all things are not expedient. It's not representative of Christ, is it? It's not representative of our Lord. It's not like, as a brother brought out this morning, being like our God, who in his graciousness unto mankind in general, even though he is hated and reviled, is merciful and gracious unto his creation daily, moment by moment. If we're going to be like the Lord, we need to give always a second thought to what we're going to do and what we're going to say. May God help us. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I tell you what, it's a tall statement. And again, it deals with what Brother Stephen talked about and spoke about this morning in the Sunday school lesson. We think about vice and being brought under the power of that. How about being brought under the power of our own emotion, of our own anger, of our own willfulness and way, the way that we will just say, I and me and nobody else. We don't need to be brought under the power of anything but our Lord. We need to be subdued and surrendered to our Lord. We need to seek to put away the old man, as the scripture says. Yes, it refers to that battle that we have again within, the old and the new, wrestling, so much so it is in the scriptures. We don't need to be brought under the power of anything but our Lord and his will, way, and word in our lives. He says here, meats for the belly and belly, the belly for meats. We've got to eat, don't we? But God shall destroy both it and them. This old flesh is going to be go back to dust. Where it came from, it's going to go back. We've got to eat. We've got to eat to maintain life in this world. But we don't need to be brought under the power of anything. He segues now here into a thing that these first century children of God so dealt with. Why? Because they knew nothing but paganism. The Gentiles, the heathen of the nations, knew nothing but paganism and the wickedness that was associated with paganism and the illicitness that was associated and part of their wicked worship, just right down the line of Romans chapter 1. It's a reason that the apostle is writing to the church there at Rome, laying out those things that they can identify with, that threefold giving over of God as men in their own natural way seek after God, but are going to miss God for sure, and just fill themselves up with more and more wickedness to the satisfying of their own sinful will and flesh. He says here, we've got to live, but God shall destroy those things that are of this earth. Now, the body is not for fornication, not for those things that are reserved for marriage and that intimacy between a man and his wife. The body is not for those things outside of marriage. Do not use it that way. You've been saved from that, as he says. You're washed in verse 11. You're set apart for the Lord unto holiness and righteousness and a righteous walk with our God. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Young person, you be faithful to your Lord, and you be faithful to your spouse to be. While you're single, you keep yourself. You keep your innocency. You keep your chastity. You keep your virginity. You keep that in that place that the Lord has reserved for in marriage. And do not experiment in these things. And keep yourselves away from these youthful lusts. And the Lord will bless you. And the Lord will help you. It is a wicked day where the world, the system of the world, and Satan just wants to take young people and use them up. And what it does is it leaves young people that are scarred, marriages that are hampered and hindered as they go forward in future years. The body is not for fornication, but the body is for the Lord. Young person, you dedicate yourself to the Lord. Single person, you dedicate yourself to the Lord and what he would have. And let him be your answer and your fulfillment. And the Lord for the body. See, these people were there in Corinth where they would be templed, they would be tempted by all the prostitution and wickedness associated with all those pagan gods everywhere in the city. It would be all around them. And they had to seek, they needed to seek the strength and the help of the Lord not to yield to those things. Verse 14, God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. The body and the meats are going to be destroyed, but one day we're going to have a body. Praise God, we're going to have a body like Christ that'll be impervious and unaffected by sin and wickedness. I tell you what a day that will be. I long to see our Savior, but I long for that body where I'm not going to have all this temptation and looking to yield into the onslaught of the world and Satan on this old flesh. Are you sensitive to that? Do you know that there is an onslaught? Do you know that there is that is in the world? It's like, what's Brother Jim talking about? I tell you what, it's real. It is real. It is there. And if you're not sensitive to that and don't understand that, I pray that you do an evaluation. Maybe you're just more grown up than me. I pray that that is the case. But I tell you what, we can certainly become sensitized or desensitized to the things that are in the world around us. And the God hath both raised up the Lord Jesus, the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Indeed, we were crucified with him. We were raised with him. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? He gets right to the point. He's dealing with the subject that they have and all that wicked worship of Rome and of Greece, harlotry and just illicitness was just so much a part of that. Shall we take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. These are one of these God forbid. God says, no, no, no. The antinomian would say, the one that is against the law and against the pursuit of righteousness as the children of God would say, it doesn't matter what you do in this old body. Those that are in that case are deceived to trust in election and predestination, making that their God rather than the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help us. God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. I thought that's what he said about marriage, Brother Jim. Well, that's right. It's reserved for marriage. It's the physical connection and cleaving, as Brother Stephen brought out this morning, his element of that. There's spiritual, there's emotional, and there's physical. And the Lord says that uniting there in adultery and fornication is the same thing that's going on in marriage. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, the Lord, shall be one flesh. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. May God help us so we remember that and rest in that. Single folks that are here, rest in that. You join unto the Lord. You're one with him until the Lord brings you a spouse. Flee fornication, verse number 18. He gets even closer and more plain with it. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. If you steal, if you talk bad with your mouth, it's revealing about what's within. If you covet, the manifestation of that is takes place outwardly. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Those who are intimate with those to whom they are not married sin against themselves. That's what the Lord says. It brings a pleasure for a short time, but then guilt, 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 guilt before God continuously. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? He's given, the Holy Spirit of God is given by God Almighty and to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in our context here in the church. And ye are not your own. Lord lives within us. Everywhere I take myself to go and I sin against the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God is right there in the viewfinder, looking through these eyes and hearing with these ears and seeing all the thinking going on in this brain. And when I do that, I pursue whatever it is that I sin and fail my Lord in, the Holy Spirit of God within is grieved and quenched within me, within the child of God. So he wants them to give consideration to this. Think about it. Think about it, children. Think about children there at Corinth. He says unto them in previous chapters, he said he's their father, father in the faith. He was the one that carried the gospel to them. He's not telling them these things to hurt them. He's telling them these things to help them. He doesn't love us. He sure does. He's telling them things in a very stern way and very serious way, a very plain way that they might be helped, that they might learn. You are not your own. May the Lord help us to know that. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You know what it's going to take to glorify the Lord in our bodies? Obedience. We have to know that word, that we might, his word, what he says here in the scripture, that we might be obedient. Therefore, glorify God in your body and glorify God in your spirit, which are God's. So here our brother writes into this church and gets on them pretty tough about things that they need. And we have the blessing being here some 1900 years later. We've got the same word from God that's good for Olmsted Baptist Church too. I pray that there's none of these things going on within, but I tell you what, we're subject that they could be. And may we steer away from them. May we hear what our Lord says. May we know that we're not going to ever play any tricks on the Lord and hide from him anything. May we be faithful to him. Our Lord Jesus, he's been faithful to us, hadn't he? May we be faithful to him. Faithful to him indeed. May God help us. Next time we're going to take a look here, and he's going to go right in from this to that of marriage and the things, the attitude of the child of God and of the Lord towards marriage and one of the purposes for marriage. And so we'll be looking into that. You know, in days gone by, this might be a subject that would be steered away from, and I think it's been a hurt and a detriment unto the Lord's people and the Lord's churches. The world's screaming about what you can do with your body. And the thing is, our children are subject to hear that. We're subject to hear that. We need to hear from the Lord what he says about marriage and those things that he's created and blessed with in marriage and in the home and the family, his great blessing upon us. If you're here and you're not saved, this hasn't been exactly a message to you, but it does tell about the Lord and his holiness and his righteousness, and that you as a person fall short of that. You're a sinner. You've sinned against God. And Brother Jim, I'm not that old. I tell you what, you've sinned against God. Little children, as much as we love them, and Nat, where's Abigail? She's somewhere. Natalie's holding Abigail. Little sweet Abigail, she wears that bow around her head, and she'll smile at you and make sounds at you and stuff like that. But little baby Abigail, she's already learned how to work the system. And she doesn't tell the truth every time. We're sinners. We need a Savior. And praise God that the Lord didn't look upon mankind and say, I'm done with them. But he looked down, as the scripture says, over in the book of Isaiah and saw that there was no intercessor. And he brought salvation. He with his strong arm. and stretched out hand and arm brought salvation. The helmet of salvation and the robe of righteousness the Lord imparts unto sinners. We point you to him. If you're here and you're not saved, repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul.